The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Weather warnings remain in place for six counties in the southeast. Morning disruption to some rail services on the Howth to Malahide line has eased with the line reopened, but road access to Fairview in North Dublin City is blocked off due to flooding caused by a suspected burst water pipe. So, if we're to start a blame game for the apparently unexpected weather and flooding, where do we start? Well, the best place to start is with Dara O'Brien, Minister for Climate, Energy and the Environment.
Well,
Minister,
Pat.
Good morning and welcome.
Good morning. Good morning.
Now, you might
indeed
fill us in on what you know about Fairview, because that's something that just ambushed everyone this morning.
It's a major burst to the water main there at Fairview, which is traffic is diverted around it. I don't know the exact reason for it or the cause of it. It may not be storm related, so, but Ishka Éireann are on site. They're providing updates on a regular basis on social media. Obviously, it's been treated as an absolute priority because it's the main artery into the city, and there are a significant number of homes now without water. But that is being worked on right now, and it is one of the main water mains as well for that area, which is burst.
So you don't think the two are in any way related?
I honestly can't say so. I don't want to give an answer one way or the other. But what I would say this is, like, if we look at Storm Chandra, which is a significant weather event, we have them much more regularly now. We've had 24 days of rain in 28 days of January. So the rain that's actually in the water that's been held within our system, but also in the ground, like the ground is saturated. So Storm Chandra coming in on top of that obviously has an impact on our water system. And this is not unique to Ireland either. I heard Jennifer on with you earlier on. That's why in the last 5 years, we invested 8.5 billion euro in water to improve infrastructure, which is badly needed. And over this period of time to 2030, that's been increased to 12.2 billion. And it is correct. Some of the water mains are old. They've been there for decades. They need to be replaced. But that programme is underway. Yeah.
Now, Ishka Éireann, that was their remit in the public mind, you know, getting potable water, clean potable water to everyone. But part of their other remit is getting rid of stormwater.
Stormwater, yes.
And yet they can't be clearing the fridge that's blocking the stream that causes the flooding in a local area. That's not their job.
That's the local authority's job. And as I said, look, in the winter months as well, there's a lot of debris because of the storm. There will be culverts and drains that are blocked. Local authority crews are out all across the country. But if I could say this, after every storm event, a full review is done. And we do have to improve, continue to improve warning systems and continue to improve responses. And that's something that will be continuous. And we do have, under the Taoiseach's guidance as well, separate cabinet committee on this, which brings all the relevant ministers together to look at preparation for storm and weather events, and also to review how previous events were actually responded to and prepared for.
Now, it's interesting, your cabinet colleague, the Minister for Housing, James Brown, he was talking on Southeast Radio yesterday and he had something to say about Met Éireann.
I don't know whether there was a possibility of an earlier warning in this particular situation, and I let Met Éireann defend themselves in that respect if they can. But what I will say is, in general, I think Met Éireann do have to step up their communications.
Will you, in your role as minister, will you question Met Éireann?
Absolutely.
And ask them for a response?
No, absolutely.
And will you share that response with us, please?
I think we'd be doing more than that. I think we would be bringing Met Éireann in and say that, look, there needs to be an understanding here that information is not to be guarded. Information is to be put out there, and we need to do a much better job of communications. But also what we've asked Met Éireann to do as well is to look at how they bring these warnings, you know, yellow, orange, red warnings. It's based on a mathematical formula, whereas in other countries they use the mathematical formula, but then they also make a judgment call, and I think there needs to be a greater use of that judgment call.
Okay, now that criticism of Met Éireann saying they should use a judgment call, and then you know what happens. They get it wrong. They say, you know, batten down the hatches, lock your windows, blah, blah, blah. Your trampoline is going to be blown away. And then it doesn't happen.
And we have had that situation before. They have a very difficult job. I know the team in Met Éireann very well. They reported to me in my last portfolio. We have actually invested heavily in their own equipment, in their weather radar equipment that needed badly needed to be replaced. We were actually operating with some radar systems that were basically 1970s, 1980s.
Well, what do you think of your cabinet colleague pointing the finger at Metair and saying they didn't say, by the way, a yellow warning means that you should do this, that and the other if you're in Enniscorthy, but if you're in Dunleary, you don't have to do a thing.
Well, I think, look, Minister Brown gave a more extensive interview and that is a clip from it. What I would say is Enniscorthy was particularly badly affected. The one thing that is being worked on, and I would like to see it accelerated, is the river flood forecasting. That is not a perfect science, nor is forecasting, if that's not a contradiction.
But Keith Lamkin, he has said...
I listened to him.
And he's
I don't accept it's 10 years.
He says it's 20 years and they're halfway through. So it will be another 10 before it's finished.
And Keith, I have a lot of regard for colleagues in Metair, and I worked very closely with them. I worked on their capital plan and secured funding for them. I don't accept it's a further 10 years is required for the river flood forecasting. What we need is even indicatives, and you can actually put warnings on the warnings, if you understand what I mean, that it is not going to be perfect, but there are river levels are monitored in Ireland, not every river. That's something that needs to be done, that all of them do, okay? And that we can at least give indications to communities where river levels are monitored of the potential of a river bursting its banks or overflowing.
But isn't that down to the local authority? I mean, the people in the local area know their own situation. So it's really up to them. And they also know which rivers and which streams they haven't cleared.
They do. And in some
which need dredging.
Some instances, you're not going to be able to mitigate against some weather events. And that's one thing. Every country is dealing with these challenges, okay? And some do it better than others. And I think, in the main, we do it well. What I would say this, though, is yes, local authority planning is critical. I think where data is available, particularly around river flood forecasting, that should be provided. And I agree with Minister Brown on that element. Metair do have a very tough job. They do it very well, I would say. And people do need to heed the warnings. But we have had situations whereby warnings have been given and the weather event hasn't happened. And then they're criticised for that.
Yeah, exactly.
So we have to manage that.
We
have to be fair as well in this.
Now, some of the comments that came in on foot of Jennifer's contribution earlier, the greatest flood defence is not to build next to rivers. Keep doing the same thing and expect different results. Only in Ireland, says Andrew. Another one, as someone who's working as a planner in a local authority, one of the hardest challenges is fighting against zoning lands that flood when our elected members dismiss evidence-based flood maps in favour of short-term political gain. It is a constant battle.
Just on those two points, we have the 100-year flood forecasting maps, the CFRAMs, okay? And local authorities do not zone now housing on floodplains. It doesn't happen. It did happen in areas in the past. We have seen some homes flooded with this weather event. Not many, but that's not a consolation on those who have. Many of those are proximate to rivers. Okay, and they're like older homes. if you look at what's happened in Enniscorthy, look at what's happened along the Dollar.
But during the Celtic Tiger, we did build on floodplains.
In some instances, and should not have happened. But Pat, that does not happen anymore. And people can actually look up the floodplain maps that are there in any local authority. Local authorities do need to zone land to provide for the housing that we need and in the growth in population. And that is done in a very careful way, in a very planned way. So understanding with the point that your two texters have sent in, but they're not correct on this.
Historical flooding and people can't get insurance.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I'm with that. But that does not happen anymore. What I would say this, and it is important for those businesses and homes that have been affected by Storm Chandra, the government have stood up the support schemes, the financial support schemes there. If I could say in relation to Enniscorthy, by the way, and this I think needs to be highlighted, there have been plans for a flood relief scheme in Enniscorthy for quite a number of years. And those plans were scuppered because of
the pearl mussel.
Yeah. Okay. Now, we've got to balance things as well between life and limb and people. As well, and to get a balanced approach towards providing the infrastructure that we need to mitigate and to adapt against weather events. And that's just a reality. I could probably give you 10 other examples of communities across the country that have been affected by flooding because of people objecting to schemes, holding schemes up, and schemes that need to be deployed. And we all share a responsibility to stand back and have a look at this and deliver the schemes that are needed.
Now let's move on to scramblers.
Yes.
And another, there was an arrest overnight as well, which shows that the Gardaí, you know, can be active from time to time in stopping these. The texter is coming in. A comment on banning scramblers. Housing estates are tormented by uninsured, unregistered, unlicensed and untaxed motorbikes driving over the legal speed limit without helmets. Are enough laws not already being ignored every day without this type of reactionary nonsense from politicians? Laws, 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 but zero enforcement. That's from Robert. And isn't that the issue?
Well, it's not, to say that respectfully. Firstly, look, the tragedy of a young lady, Grace, losing her life and her family, they're all in our thoughts. Grace's removal was last night. My colleague Paul McAuliffe and thousands of members of the community were out there last night. Legislation was passed in 2023, particularly to deal with scramblers, that actually made it an offence to drive a scrambler dangerously, which wasn't an offence previously to 2023. And Paul and John Lahart and others actually really pushed for that legislation, allowed the Gardaí the powers to seize scramblers, which they've done, to be fair, over that three-year period. But to get straight to the question, enforcement is absolutely critical, unquestionably. But what we are going to do, and I met with the Taoiseach yesterday and the Minister for Justice, myself and Minister Kenny, we will be banning scramblers on public roads and in public places. They're sports bikes. They should not be on the road.
Yeah. Now, there are some bikes that look like scramblers. It's the design of them, they're road bikes with lights and...
To be straight, Pat, we're going to go hard on this, and there will be some hard cases within it. This awful tragedy, we need to respond to that. We do not want anyone else losing their lives. And there are parts of this city, and I know that myself, that the communities feel that they've been forgotten about, and they haven't been. Yeah. But we need to address this. And I would expect this to be addressed within a matter of weeks. And enforcement is key too. And the Gardaí do a good job. They've in that period they have seized between e-scooters, scramblers, and others, you know, about 600 to 700 different vehicles. But we just need to, this needs to be dealt with. It was passed in legislation in 2023, and one element of that, even though the legislation was commenced, the regulations were not done and completed, and that needs to be brought to conclusion and implemented now.
Many people making the point that it's not just scramblers, it's ordinary motorbikes which are being stolen every day in great numbers and then being driven around, kids doing wheelies, running red lights, driving the wrong way down one-way streets, and the Gardaí can do nothing. And this is the nub of the thing. I've seen it in my local park, Kilbogat Park, where a guy and a girl on the back, no foot... grips for her to hold on to, so her legs are trailing down, running around the place, all over the place, kids trying to walk, children playing.
I know.
Guards arrive in a squad car. What can they do?
Well, look, I suppose if we can, firstly, enforcement's key, guard resources are key, and we're increasing.
But what can they do if you get a rogue motorcyclist doing anything? How can they stop them? It's too dangerous to stop them.
Yeah, it can be. The guard has to make a decision whether to pursue or not. Okay, but that person can be prosecuted, and prosecutions do happen. The fact of the matter is, though, people will be aware of mainly lads, young guys, on scramblers, doing wheelies, balaclavas, covered faces, no helmets, all of that, that needs to be dealt with. And it will be dealt with. It won't deal with every case. Another element of this, though, is people's own responsibility and family responsibility and parental responsibility, if I might say. That where we have young lads and girls who are out there doing these type of things, many of these young lads and girls have parents who are in that community too. And if we've 14, 15-year-olds on bikes, on scrambler bikes or on motorbikes and doing this, that is, there's a bigger issue there, and we do have that. And you know, so the guards can only do so much. The guards are given the powers, and they will exercise those powers. Legislation, your texter is right, or laws are important, but also responsibility and personal responsibility.
I don't know, does any jurisdiction have a solution to this? I was mentioning yesterday that in some parts of the UK they use drones to follow the cyclists to their destination and then they nab them when they've stopped.
Yes, a Gardaí unit has been trained in that very thing. And look, whilst we're discussing this right now, I don't want, there's many young guys and girls out there, the vast majority of them, who behave extremely well, are a great part of our society. There's a small number of continual offenders who are responsible for the majority of the antisocial behaviour and you know, joyriding and various things like this. And they do need to be dealt with. They do need to be pursued. They do need to be prosecuted. And by the way, if they're minors, their parents need to be brought to account as well.
Just a couple of postscripts to the flooding thing. I wish to refute the minister's issue about building on floodplains. I'm from East Cork and they're building at the moment on the floodplains of Carrigtool. Right now, another one says, I live in Selbridge. There are plans to build houses on a flooding plain. You couldn't make it up. That's from Joe.
If you look at the CFRAMS maps, in fairness, and I would just say, look at your local authority maps. I'm not disputing what your texters are saying. I know our local authorities operate with this and they stay away from floodplains. If this flood mitigation or other measures are brought in, they're brought in as part of the developments too. But I'm not going to, I don't want to dismiss your texters out of hand.
Now,
either.
I want to move on to the new grant system because it looks quite exciting, but there are many questions for people saying, I'd love to upgrade my house, but I can't afford it because I need to add so much money myself. I only have a limited amount of savings. So what's the minister offering?
Well, that's that's the main question on this, and that's why I've broken down the grants. It's because there's lots of people out there want to upgrade their homes but can't afford the full retrofit, even though the grants are very sizable. So what I've basically brought forward is a retrofitting passport. So, for example, if you want to do your windows and doors, before I made these changes, you could only get a windows and doors grant if you did the full retrofit, the heat pump, all of that, the wrapping of the house. I've broken that up. So you now can get a windows and doors grant of up to €5,600. If your house is of a certain standard already, you can get that on its own. About 200,000 homes, we reckon. So houses probably mid-2000s and that have good fabric, good insulation already, you go ahead, you get that grant. And that's probably 40 to 50% of the cost of a normal three-bedroom house, so substantial. If you need some insulation with that to get your house up to a standard, you can get your insulation grant and your windows and doors grant and just those grants, and off you go. We've also, we've done about 240,000 homes retrofitted to various different levels since 2019, and that includes solar. So it's not all full retrofit. It is working. It reduces people's household bills on a permanent basis, which is really important, and it reduces their energy usage. But in particular, the middle income cohort, people who've got kids and who are, you know, cost of living, may have some savings but don't want to deploy them all. That's where these grants have been changed.
Well, can you say, you know, I've got double glazing, it's pretty good, da-da-da, but I have a leaky back door. Can I get a grant for that?
Yeah, as long as you've got to get your house tested, which is a simple test, see what the fabric is like. You want your back door, your front door replaced? Yes, you can. €800 per door, okay? You may require some insulation. The attic and wall insulation grants are up to €3,800. Everything is now up on the seai.ie website as well. In very simple format.
So could you get your back door, front door, and maybe insulation in your attic and your immersion or whatever, and stop there because that's all you can afford?
Yes, and that's what I want. Because someone may do that, may be able to afford to do that this year, and in 2 years' time come back and say, do you know what, I want to get a heat pump in. And speaking of heat pumps, because they're very climate-friendly and efficient way of heating one's house and also very cheap in relation to ongoing bills, I've effectively double the heat pump grant. It's up to $12,500. That makes a colossal difference to people. Now, it is, you do have to, in many instances, replace your radiators to it. So I've acknowledged that. But your bills will plummet. And what we're targeting with these grant measures, we envisage about 70,000 grants this year alone. We did 58,000 retrofits last year. So people are responding to them. I want to support them further and make the grants more accessible, and that's what we've done here.
Now, people will tell you anecdotally, I got a heat pump in, it's costing me more fortune in electricity, much more than it was costing me in gas. Now, sometimes people will get an inappropriate type of heat pump for their home. There's a thing called a high-temperature heat pump, but looking on some websites last night, it turns out that if you're not going to change your rads, that you need a high temperature, but that can be more expensive.
It can be. No, I'm actually on the high temperature heat pump. I think there's something in that. The technology is improving. So as part of this, we're going to do a pilot of 100 homes with basically a plug-in high temperature heat pump. And then we'll monitor those costs, be able to get the readings. That technology is improving. We will get to a stage where you'll have heat pumps that will be able to be literally plugged in and use your existing plumbing system and just basically decommission your gas or your oil boiler. We're not there yet. Existing heat pumps, though, is the best way forward. That does require other changes in the homes, and now you get €12,500 towards that. And if you do that, you can also get the other grants. Okay? So you could do your windows and doors, you can do your attic, you can do your cavity walls, you can put your heat pump in. Whilst we're doing that, I've also expanded the 100% grants for low-income families, the Warmer Home Scheme. We've done over 30,000 homes there. The waiting times, you know, can be a little bit elongated, but it works really, really well. And that's a full retrofit, 100% grant enabled. And we're looking at areas around the medically vulnerable as well about how we can prioritise them within the grant system.
Now, one of the issues always when the government helps people out is, you know, whether you give them a grant to help them buy a house or whatever, is that the money is absorbed by the provider. Mm-hmm. In other words, the price of solar panels, the price of heat pumps, the price of insulation goes up because the government's given money. How do you stop gouging?
To be fair, we've worked with the sector. We've spent about 6 months working on this with the SEI, myself and my own team, and indeed with the sector. And there's effectively the SEI have a price register. So as of yesterday or the day before, we know what the cost of windows and doors, for example, are, and all the suppliers have fed into that. And that is monitored right the way through. That would protect against price gouging. Solar, interestingly, you mentioned solar panel costs have actually reduced. They've been deployed more. We've 1 gigawatt now of solar on rooftops in this country.
Fantastic.
One gig. We've 2 gigawatts of solar installed. And that came from nothing 8 years ago. So it does show with a bit of support, people will respond to clean, green, renewable energy, reducing our dependence on fossil, reducing our emissions, and really importantly, reducing our bills permanently.
Now, one of the things that people might want to do is they put solar in, they insulate the house, and they also want to have an EV, which is grand if you have a driveway.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
If you don't have a driveway, or if you live in an apartment building, you can't go the full way.
Yep. And firstly, there are the EV charging grants. People know that. This Dáil session, I'll be publishing the private wires legislation. Now, that's to allow point-to-point sort of electricity generation to another source, right? So if I'm generating, it might be to a business or whatever. But as part of that, we're going to deal with this issue of multi-unit developments and being able to access the public path, because many homes do not have their own driveway or might be a shared driveway. That legislation will be in place this year. And we've looked at measures that have been brought in Britain in relation to channeling across paths and looking at various things like that. That piece will be addressed.
A couple of questions. Can you ask the Minister about grants available for septic tank replacement? I believe 3 very restrictive funding streams are available. We bought an old property with an unregistered, hand-built, leaking septic tank, but we cannot access the grant.
There are grants. They're under the Department of Housing and Local Government. I know that because I was in
my previous
role. Those grants were reformed. I don't have the exact detail right now, but your local authority, for that listener, would be able to tell them. Because you do require an inspection of septic tanks. So what we did in the last government, like that in that very instance, is to help people to upgrade those. There are grants available, and I'd contact your local authority.
And a final one, can we get the grant for materials and then install myself, for example, attic insulation? Or do you have to get a contractor?
You need a registered contractor.
Yeah. Now, the process, I mean, this is to conclude what people do. They're all listening and they're thinking, yeah, I could do that.
Yeah.
What is the first step they take?
First step, either go onto the SEAI website, have a look at the grants that are available. Many people will have a BRRRR test already, okay? We've tried to keep this as simple as possible, and it is. Most of the applications are online. So have a look. You'll see what you're available for. There are conditions within it that are clearly set out. So you do need to know what your BRRRR rating is. So for argument's sake, if you already met the minimum BRRRR requirements, you could go and just get your windows and doors done without other insulation. It's all there available. There's a helpline there too. It's all stood up now. SEAI are waiting for calls from people. I would check the website. Website is good. And do engage with it. Like this. These retrofitting grants make a big difference to households. We've rightly discussed with you, Pat, on many occasions, the cost of energy, which is another challenge for all of us. This is one way of getting the cost of energy down for your house permanently. Savings of up to €1,200 on an average house per annum permanently in your household bills. So I'd ask people to engage. Obviously, then contact me directly in the department or in the constituency office. Denise will love the fact that I've said that. If we've any queries, and we're delighted to help. And I know a lot of information will be going out to households through their letterboxes and by email, and it's all up online too.
Very good. Dara O'Brien, Minister for Climate, Energy and the Environment, Minister for Transport, Fianna Fáil Minister, of course. Thank you very much for joining us.
You're very welcome, Pat.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.